Welcome, dear listeners, to the GCPP Radio Hour, brought to you on behalf of Random Acts of Brownies, pastries so good you will want to eat one every day. In tonight's radio drama, we bring you the finale to our story of Dracula. We begin 2 weeks prior to the death of young Lucy Westenra in the summer of 1924. Professor Abraham Van Helsing has been summoned back to New York by his former pupil, Dr. John Seward.
Professor, it is good to see you again. You look very well.
Thank you, John. You as well. You mentioned you might need my help with a new patient?
Yes, I am certain of it. A man was brought to the hospital raving mad, initially unable to even tell us his own name. Yesterday he was calm enough to answer some questions and had recalled his surname, Renfield. We cannot determine where he is from, nor how he came to us here in New York.
This all sounds like standard fare for your profession, John. What can I possibly hope to contribute?
Well, in his clearest moments of lucidity, he speaks of a man who isn't a man and who holds some sway over him. In his more dramatic fits of insanity, he shouts that his master will come soon and that he will make us all his cattle.
May I see this man?
Certainly. Though we did have to sedate him today. He keeps spiders, you see, and one of the orderlies tried to tidy them up, and he bit her.
Professor Van Helsing and I swiftly travel to the solitary ward where Renfield has been confined.
Mr. Renfield, I have brought you a friend who is very interested in talking with you. His name is...
Quincy! Professor Alan Quincy. It is a pleasure to make your acquaintance, Mr. Renfield. And I hear you have some spiders. Do they have names?
Certainly not, Professor. Would you name a cow you meant to slaughter? No. My spiders are my food, and I keep them as such. I am what Dr. Seward there would term a... What was it again?
Zoophagic maniac, Mr. Renfield.
Yes. I eat animals most of you uncultured wouldn't touch. My master gives me these gifts.
Your master? Are you indentured to someone, Mr. Renfield?
The spiders also catch flies for me, you know. They don't know that they're just food, but they catch them more food for me.
What do you hear at night, Mr. Renfield?
At night, the wolves howl to me, Professor. They herald the coming of my master, and I sing with them of his arrival.
These wolves, when did you first hear them?
At the Borgo Pass, on the journey to my first meeting with my master. He was not my master then. Only after I arrived did he give me these gifts.
You say your master is coming. To where is he coming?
Why, he will come here. He will break me free from these torture chamber and make me one of the creatures of the night. He has almost arrived, you see. I can hear the waves slapping against the side of the ship, and I can taste the blood of the cattle he hunts in the dark of the night.
He has not spoken of this before, Professor.
Can your master speak to you as the wolves do?
The wolves sing with me, but my master's voice is quiet. I have not heard it clearly until recently.
But can you hear him?
He can hear me when I wish to make myself heard, Professor
Van Helsing.
What's going on?
Quiet, John.
Did you really think to deceive me, Van Helsing, with your name of Quincy? As though I cannot see and hear you through a thrall?
What interesting luck. Count Dracula. to have left hunting you in Europe, to find you are coming to
Professor,
me.
What are you doing?
This thrall is of no use to me now, and so I will release him to your piteous madhouse. You only know that I am coming to this America, not where I will be. I'll show you the meaning of the word hunted.
Professor, release him!
I scrambled to remove Professor Van Helsing from Renfield as the professor was strangling the life from the man. Renfield sputters and coughs, gasping for air, and we leave him behind in the cell.
What happened in there? You could have killed him!
I do not have to explain. I'm merely having a talk with
him. A talk? I heard no words come from his mouth. And with what came out of yours, I fear you might be locked in here yourself if anyone else had been with you. It was like another language, guttural and coarse to my ears.
John, I cannot explain more to you right now. Please give my apologies to Mr. Renfield. I must go.
Yes. I say you should rest. What happened in there were not the actions of a sane man.
Van Helsing takes his leave of the sanitarium and returns to the university campus to obtain lodgings. I keep a close eye on Renfield, who very worryingly for the next few days appears almost comatose. The following week, his screaming returns.
Mr. Renfield, Mr. Renfield, please try to calm yourself or I will have to sedate you. There, that's much better, isn't it?
Where am I? Who are you? How do you know me?
Mr. Renfield, I am Dr. John Seward, and you are at a hospital for the criminally insane in New York State.
New York? I'm in America. But how did I get here? Last I remember, I was in Transylvania on my way to meet a new client. I've not even gotten back home to England?
I'm not sure of any of that, but you were found wandering the streets of the city and brought here by the police. Can you tell me what year it is?
It is 1897.
And how old do you think you are?
I'm 32 of age.
Mr. Renfield, are you truly not aware that the year is 1924?
That's impossible. My God, that's almost 30 years. Are you telling me I have been wandering around for almost 30 years with no knowledge of who or where I am?
It appears that way, Mr. Renfield. And your body has the aging to prove you are at least not 32 years of age anymore. If I were to guess, I would place you closer to 60 years old, which would match the break in your memory. Tell me, why were you screaming?
I couldn't say for certain, because I didn't know where I was, maybe. But I felt a great sense of loss, a trauma like I was in some void and had something like a part of me ripped away.
That is quite interesting indeed. Before we can release you into the world again, I would like to do some diagnostic tests, just to certify the stability of your mental health. Also, I feel it would be good for you, if you remember their names or contact information, to put you in touch with your family.
Yes, of course. My sister was living in Wales last I knew. I have her address, if I can have a pen.
The day before Renfield was to be discharged, I made a call on Lucy Westenra to propose marriage. She thanked me graciously for the proposal, but said that she had already accepted the marriage request of our mutual friend, Arthur Morris. The next day, she phoned me to exclaim what a horrid day it had been. Nearly crushed by a ship, she said on the phone. I assured her I would be at the party that evening, said goodbye, and went to finalize the papers for Renfield's release. In the middle of his cell, hanging from one of the water pipes, was Renfield's lifeless body. It was later revealed to me that no one had checked his room all day because they had thought he had been released the day before.
Van Helsing later caught me up on all the happenings of the initial conversation he had with Renfield, and it became clear that this Dracula was somehow linked to Renfield's death. But all of the drama with the patient was forgotten with the tragedy of Lucy Westenra. And now we return to the sudden appearance of Jonathan Harker and the aftermath of Lucy's second death.
Jonathan? Is it really you?
Yes, my love. Come, let's get you onto the couch.
Jonathan, where have you been? You're covered in filth from head to toe.
Oh, Jack. I don't exactly know how to answer that. I last recall being in the castle in Transylvania, then waking up in Carfax Abbey. My mind is a bit hazy beyond all that.
Abraham Van Helsing.
Hello. I don't believe we've met yet. I'm Jonathan Harker.
You were in Transylvania?
Yes. I had traveled there in April to finalize the transfer of deed for Carfax with a Count Dracula. He wanted to be certain to own the property before making the long journey to America, and was quite insistent on me going there to do it.
Dracula. It was him. That man who was here.
It is as I feared. But he has made a grave mistake in giving us the two of you.
What do you mean, Professor?
I will tell you, Mr. Morris. I will tell all of you. Count Dracula is a sort of holy grail of vampires. He exists mainly in myth of sort in Eastern European countries. He was Vlad the Impaler and made a pact with the devil to continue to prey upon the living. Other stories claim he made this deal upon the death of his wife, to live forever to spite God. Whatever the reason, the truth is this. Vlad Dracula became Count Dracula, and in his unlife hunts the living for sport and food. Your Lucy was one of his most recent victims. And I expect that Master Harker here has also fallen under the Count's spell. His statements follow some of Mr. Renfield's. Do they not, John?
The amnesia does match, yes. And the castle in Transylvania is also a commonality. But neither of the men have exhibited the signs of anemia that Lucy did. What of that?
This Dracula has many tools in his belt. Turning young women to vampirism seems possibly to be a trait of his. But with men, he appears to make them thralls, creatures linked to him for his own purpose.
Thralls? Linked to him? What does that mean?
So long as this vampire lives, you are to serve his means. That he has given you some form of agency is unlikely to be a true gift. And he likely has a darker purpose for you. As for you, young Mina, it appears the Count has turned his attention to you to be his next bride.
Professor Van Helsing, how can we end this?
We go to this Carfax and we strike the monster down, as we did with Miss Lucy. Jonathan, you said you came from Carfax. Is it nearby?
Yes. The property is just over the crest to the east. The abbey overlooks the water.
We assault the Count tomorrow. Noon. Before I go, I must test something.
Van Helsing takes two wafers of host from his satchel and presses the sanctified bread to the arms of the Harkers.
As expected, you are both tainted by the dark. You'll remain here, shackled, so as not to cause any undue disturbance. John, Mr. Morris, You two will accompany me tomorrow, and we will need to discuss our plans away from these two. To protect them the remainder of this evening, we will need to enact some more powerful barriers than we did before.
The professor instructs us on placing sanctified pieces of host around the couple's bedroom, and the next day we set out for Carfax Abbey. As Jonathan had said, it sat near the edge of a cliff overlooking the water.
A vampire needs his homeland to rest. A vampire must rest after a meal. We should not have interference from him as we go about our business.
His homeland? Is that the earth we are searching for?
Yes, the earth he will have no doubt brought with him.
If you are right, and the ship that crashed in the harbor was carrying this thing, that's 50 crates of earth.
Yes, I imagined as such. One of the crates will also contain our dear Count. Given his propensity for theatrics, I imagine it will be the largest or the one given the most presence. Crack open each unopened crate and place one of the hosts into the earth. Recite the portion of the Lord's Prayer that we discussed and move on.
We climb past a ruined section of wrought iron fencing and make our way into the abbey. 50 enormous crates lay sprawled across the ruined abbey's floor, each exuding an odor of loam and decay. We set about the arduous task of breaking and blessing the crates, spoiling them for the Count's use. With each crate opened, the stench of death grows around us.
Van Helsing, I thought that this would lessen the horror, not intensify them.
It's only a trick, Mr. Morris. Keep at it. 12 down.
As we continued through the ruined abbey's chapel, we work at a fiendish pace, 12 crates, then 25, then 30, until at long last the crate upon the altar is the only one to remain. With only an hour before sunset, Professor Van Helsing hammers his crowbar into the lid of the box.
Are you ready, young men? This will end it all.
Jack, I hope this works.
So do I, Arthur. Hold that axe steady.
With an unholy groan, the lid of the box is toppled to the floor. Arthur and I sprang into action but stopped short. Inside the crate, we found only more earth. The vampire we'd been hunting was gone. Professor Van Helsing cursed the air as Mr. Morris and I sanctified this final box. We then retreat to the Murray estate and relate the trip to the young couple.
He has left.
How do you know that, my darling?
I'm not sure, but I feel it somehow. He's traveling back over the ocean.
He is returning to his castle to regain his strength. His attempt at violating New York has failed.
Then we follow him. Renfield and Lucy deserve a proper revenge for their deaths at his hand.
Jack is right. He cannot be allowed to ruin more lives. If he takes my life, I will take him down.
I have a feeling that we may be of some help to you. Jonathan has been to this castle before and knows it well.
You men have the hearts of hunters. I'm glad to know you. And you, Miss Mina, you know where he is going, and that is a blessing he did not intend to give us.
You agree to bring me this time? I am glad I do not have to stow away like some rat.
We gather some light luggage and purchase tickets for the trip. The ship carries the five of us to Europe, traveling in the wake of Count Dracula. We manage to get a train across the mainland, Mina recounting the general location of our prey. As we near the Borgo Pass, we charter a caleche and four horses. Our journey near its end, we rest at a cave.
Professor, if we cannot destroy Dracula, what will become of Jonathan and me?
You will become the Count's undead bride. And Jonathan will either be killed or brought further under Dracula's power, perhaps even to become a vampire himself. Though in my understanding of the Count, is not fond of turning men to his hellish family. Mina, get back.
Go into the cave with the others.
Mina, come with us.
You are our sister, Mina.
Back. Leave her alone, foul wretches of the night.
She is ours, Hunter. Give her to us.
Van Helsing and the brides attack each other, the professor armed with a blessed dagger. Arthur and I come out from the cave roused by Mina, armed with Arthur's bowie knife and the axe that we used to decapitate Lucy. Evenly matched, the brides retreat to the darkness of the forest.
She will join us sooner or later, Hunter.
Thank you, John. Arthur, where are the others?
Inside the cave. What happened?
Professor, the horses are dead, mutilated.
The Count is fearing our approach. It is not safe to bring the Harkers with us to the castle. The closer we get to the Count, the heavier his grip becomes. We can leave them here with food and water. Place a barrier of hosts so they cannot be removed by the vampires, nor leave the cave itself.
I'll grab the bags we need from inside so that we can travel on foot.
Arthur, what is it?
They're gone. A note says they are going to the castle to take down Dracula.
Professor, what is our plan now? We've now lost both of our guides, literally and possibly figuratively. How do we go?
We follow the crest of the mountain. I will find the brides. You and Arthur will hunt the Count. From what Mr. Harker describes in his journal, the Count's resting place is likely in the tombs of the chapel.
We set out on foot, the early November air growing colder and colder as we ascend the mountain. Soon, we see it, Castle Dracula. It looms in the mists of the early morning, seeming black as coal against the gray dawn. We cross beyond the old rusted gateway and the air grows colder.
Fools, this is my domain, and my revenge is just begun. I spread it over centuries, and time is on my side. Your girls that you all love are mine already. And through them, you and others shall yet be mine, my creatures to do my bidding, and to be my jackals when I want to feed.
Ignore him, friends. To the chapel. Find the tombs.
Inside the castle, broken walls and stonework litter the ground, necessitating a twisted passage through the interior. What might at one time have taken minutes took hours, with the sun nearly at noon by the time we reached the chapel entrance. Arthur and I bid Van Helsing adieu as we split up to search the tombs.
Professor, you've come after all. I am grateful, for I'm having a devil of a time finding my way down here. I keep hearing him. I can't make out his location.
Mr. Harker, have you seen these women? We must stop them first to prevent them from interfering with our task.
They are resting just through here. They prefer to rest far from my master.
Thank you, Mr. Harker. Forgive me this!
Van Helsing attacks Jonathan, knocking him down toward an open crypt. He pushes the crypt door shut and barricades it.
Let me out, old man! I'm not gonna hurt you! I'm just going to take you to the master!
Now, if I were a bride, where would I be? Ah.
Three simple tombs lay near each other. The professor removes the lid from the nearest and inside finds what he had been searching for.
So full of life and beauty that I shudder. Though I have come to do murder. But we must not fail. Not for this day.
He plunges his dagger through the heart of the vampire bride in the coffin. As he does this, he places a piece of host in her mouth. The body of the bride crumbles away, leaving only the dagger and dust behind. He sets about finishing the other brides in the same manner as elsewhere in the tombs. Mr. Morris and I conduct our search.
Hey, that there, do you see that?
Yes. Yes, I do. That is the largest tomb I've ever seen. The writing on it. That does say Dracula, doesn't it?
It does. Help me with the door.
Good God, Miss Mina!
Hello, boys. I hope you don't mind, I've been waiting for you here.
Mina grabs Arthur by the throat and throws him back down the corridor we came from. I try to restrain Mina, but she throws me off as well.
You are not going to win this fight. You weren't men enough to save Lucy, and you aren't men enough to save me.
Jack, the bread! Beyond the tomb! I'll hold this one off.
I scramble to the tomb's entrance as Arthur tackles Mina.
You got the jump on me, Mina. I used to wrestle steer for fun. I've got more fight than you think.
Arthur and Mina wrestle on the ground for control of the fight. I finish sanctifying the Count's tomb and call to Arthur as I run past.
Hurry! It's done! Stop playing around!
Arthur throws Mina off of him and dashes after me. Professor Van Helsing meets us where we had split off.
Well, is the Count gone?
He wasn't there. But we spoiled like you taught us.
Good men. It's nearly dark. I'm sure he'll be here soon.
Halt! You defy my castle for what end, Hunter? To die at my hand?
This is the lord of this castle? This man is hardly anything. He is shriveled and broken already.
Don't be a fool, John. Think. This thing is the cause of all of this. This is the Lord Count Dracula, son of Dracul, master of deception and death.
You do me great honor, Hunter. What are they, your latest attempts at proteges?
She was supposed to be my wife.
Arthur charges the Count, knife extended to take him by surprise. The Count, in one smooth motion, tosses the man aside like a rag doll while neatly removing the knife, hand included, from his possession.
These hunters agree, are they not? I ask you again, Hunter, to what end do you defile my castle? I can do anything I wish and start anew. I'll take Miss Mina and young Jonathan and just leave.
You monster do not belong in this world.
Enough talk. Have at you.
The Count, his eyes glaring red, swiftly closes the distance and attempts to grab Van Helsing. I swing my axe as the Count is distracted, cutting a clean line across the vampire's throat. Van Helsing then plunges his dagger into the Count's heart. As the dagger is wrenched free, Dracula crumbles as his brides did, the remains becoming no more than dust in the wind.
Arthur! Arthur, let me see it! Let me see the wound!
You're ahead, Doc, Jack. I don't see what you can do about this. Besides, I didn't want to worry you before, but that fight with Mina really took it out of me. So I would kindly ask you just to let me rest a bit.
Arthur, you fool. You stubborn fool. I can staunch the bleeding. Here, just give me your arm. Arthur. Arthur!
John, he is dead. He gave his everything for this. We will bury him tomorrow.
Van Helsing and I return to the tombs to gather the Harkers. We find Mina and Jonathan both asleep and rouse them.
Mina! Jack? Why are you two here? And who are you?
We will explain all things tomorrow. For now, I think it is best for us to get a bit of rest.
We retire to some of the sleeping chambers inside the castle, content that we were safe from the horrors once contained within. The next morning, we bury Arthur beneath the chapel and fill the gaps in Jonathan's memory. As we leave the castle, I pull the professor aside.
Professor, I wish to learn from you the ways of the hunter, to become your student again.
Ah, you always were a high achiever, John. We will discuss this more once we return to New York.
Jonathan, I am so glad we have not lost each other.
I would have followed you into death, my love. Nothing would keep me from you forever.
Battered but whole, we returned to New York. Mina and Jonathan lived long, happy lives. Mina typeset the notes and journals of her friends and companions and published the account of our trials, expanded further than we could hope to cover here. Professor Van Helsing and I traveled the world in search of answers and monsters, helping those cursed by the creatures of the night. Thank you for joining us on this journey against the night. If you liked what you heard, please share it with your friends and family. Great thanks to the cast, crew, and of course, you, the listener. Another thank you to our partners, Random Acts of Brownies. Dracula, a radio drama, featured the talents of Carolyn Kutry, Todd Adam Decker Kaplansky, John Heisel, Josh Kaplansky, Daniel Smale, and Jennifer Zwap. Audio engineering and editing provided by Olympic Theater Productions. This has been a GCPP Radio Hour production.